Muslim and Sunni, Allah Rasul will believe. Allah Akbar. So Alhamdulillah, this is, we've gone into the second week that we're going through the illustrious life of Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu. And Alhamdulillah, we've reached the stage where he's finally embraced Islam at the hands of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in a report in Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Al-Bidayah, Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umar, Volume 5, page 295, Al-Haytimi, in Majma' Al-Zawaid, Volume 6, page 167, states, all the narrators of Tabarani are authentic. Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1, page 183. When he embraced Islam, Abbas radiallahu anhu said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he likes honor. Hence, please show a little favor to him. He just embraced Islam, just give him something. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alright, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu will be safe in Makkah, and whoever closes the door of his own dwelling will also be safe, and whoever enters Al-Masjid Al-Haram will also be safe. So obvious question when you read this report, what's the honor? So because if I'm in my own dwelling and I lock the door, and you know, what's the difference between Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and your own dwelling? So this is clarified by another report in Bayhaqi Ibn Ishaq Ibn Kathir Sirah, Volume 3, page 394 of the English translation. Hazrat Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he relates, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, whoever enters Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu's house will be safe, Abu Sufyan himself asked radiallahu anhu, but what if my house is not large enough? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, then whoever enters the Kaaba will be safe. And then Abu Sufyan asked radiallahu anhu, what if the Kaaba is not large enough, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, and whoever enters the masjid, his sanctuary, shall also be secure, not just around the Kaaba. And then he asked, what if the masjid is not large enough? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, whoever locks his own door will also be safe. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon said, then there will be sufficient space. So this is an important narration because it shows Abu Sufyan was given honor because he was mentioned first. But Abu Sufyan himself asked radiallahu anhu, he goes, not everybody can fit into my dwelling. And then the Kaaba was mentioned, and then the other place. So returning to the main narration, in Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Al-Bidayah, Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umal, Volume 5, page 295, Al-Haytami, Majma' Al-Zawaid, Volume 6, page 167, states all the narrators of Tabarani are authentic. Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1, page 183 of the Old English translation. When Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu went out of the tent to go back, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon asked Abbas radiallahu anhu to detain him near Khatam al-Jabal, near the end of the mountain range, in the narrow part of the valley, until the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marched out and he was made to witness them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was probably showing to him the strength of the Muslims. He said, don't let him go back until he sees the armies go through. So Abbas radiallahu anhu thereupon took him to the place of the valley where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked him. Then the platoons of the various tribes marched with their respective flags. Whenever any of the platoons marched by, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu would always ask Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is this battalion? Then passed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with a large company of the Muhajirun and Ansar radiallahu anhu. Since their faces and bodies were covered with helmets and armors, nothing really could be seen except the blackness of their eyes. So this is an important part of the narration because it shows that when you go to war, you fully prepare. You don't, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you put everything in place, then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He radiallahu anhu asked, the subhanallah, who are these, O Abbas radiallahu anhu? Abbas radiallahu anhu replied, these are the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the Muhajirun and Ansar radiallahu anhu. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon said, he goes, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has the power to fight with them. O Abu Fadl radiallahu anhu, the kingdom of your nephew is very vast. So that what the Prophet intended sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was him to make that statement. He wanted him to make that statement. He goes, nobody can challenge them. Abbas radiallahu anhu replied, it is not kingship, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, it is prophethood. So Abu Sufyan again answered, correcting himself. He goes, yes, you are right. Then Abbas radiallahu asked him to return to his people, having seen the magnificent forces of the believers. He then immediately returned quickly back to the mother city, and on reaching there, he shouted at the pitch of his voice, "O Quraysh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived with such a large army that nobody can now face it." He then mentioned the areas of safety. Hearing this, his wife, Hind ibn Utbah radiallahu anha, she stood up in anger. She caught hold of his mustache, saying in rebuke, "Kill this dark and mean man, for he is a bad leader of the people." And this shows that he must have had a large tash. He radiallahu anhu again shouted, he goes, "Woe to all of you, do not let this woman mislead you." Then the people went to their respective dwellings and towards the masjid and to the other various places of safety. Hence the Buddha city was taken peacefully without any opposition from the Quraysh. And as a point of fiqh, if a place is taken without any battle, then the spoils of war become fa'i. And fa'i is only given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other categories mentioned. If it's taken with battle, then it's anfal. Only one fifth goes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remaining four fifths are spread with the muhajir, the warriors. So now, if the question is posed, was Makkah taken peacefully? Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, no, it wasn't. Because Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu fought, because they attacked his section of the battalion. So other scholars have said, no, because it was taken peacefully. So we honor the difference of opinion there. And also when Khalid ibn Walid was attacked radiallahu anhu, and he was informed about the incident, the initial reaction of the Prophet was, he wasn't happy. Because I gave orders for you not to fight. But then when Khalid explained radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, in this day is good. So there was some goodness in this, and the scholars point out the various goodness. The Holy Prophet then purified the Holy Kaaba from all the filth of the various idols and pardoned the vast majority of the oppressors. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu was then ordered by the Messenger of Allah وسلم, to climb onto the roof of the Kaaba and to proclaim the azan. In Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 411 of the English translation, it has been recorded. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiallahu anhu, Attab ibn Usayd, radiallahu anhu, and Al Harith ibn Hisham, radiallahu anhu, were seated in the courtyard of the Holy Kaaba. Two of them were Muslims then. Attab, radiallahu anhu, thereupon said, on witnessing Bilal, radiallahu anhu, on the roof of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored my father Usayd by not having to hear this. Had he done so, it would have enraged him. So obviously the kafir is fascinating, they can't tolerate the azan, and you can imagine the beauty of Bilal's voice radiallahu anhu. He goes, my father didn't have to listen to this. Al-Harith ibn Hisham, the third person radiallahu anhu, he said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I had known he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right, I would have followed him, but I know he's not right. So Abu Sufyan embraced Islam, be only a day. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu then said, I'm saying nothing, because if I were to speak, these stones would make it reachable. So there's a difference. Two of them obviously still kafir. Abu Sufyan now he goes, look, you shouldn't have said that. And he goes, if I do say anything, even these stones are going to reach it to him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then came to them and he said, I know what you all said. And then he said to the first person, because you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored my father Usayd by not having to hear this. Had he done so, it would have enraged him. Isn't that true? And he goes, yes. He goes to the second person. He goes, you said Al-Harith, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I had known he was right, I would have followed him. Isn't that true? He goes, yes. And then the Prophet hasn't smiled at Abu Sufyan. He didn't say anything to him. In other words, if he had said something, he goes, you're right, these stones would have, but he didn't want to embarrass him. And then Al-Harith and Attab radiallahu anhu thereupon declared in amazement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they said, there was no one with us who overheard this for us to say he repeated it to you. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have told you this. So there's a difference. And look how stubborn they were. They had to wait till, you know, great miracles took place. And the Prophet obviously, he wanted people to be convinced without miracles. Because the danger with the miracle is if it is rejected, it leads to destruction. SubhanAllah, it was as if Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu wanted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to receive revelation in that regard so as to convince his two friends. That's what Abu Sufyan probably wanted radiallahu anhu. Because in other words, I hope these stones do tell it. Then, the same night, during the blessed night of the conquest, the believers radiallahu anhu were seen offering prayers in thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the Holy Kaaba. In Bayhaqi Al-Bidayah volume 4 page 304, Ibn Asakir Kanzul Uman volume 5 page 297 states, Sahih Ibn Kathir Sira volume 3 page 412, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 1 page 621 of the Old English translation, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayh. Let me just mention something about Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib. I just listened to the Sayyidi. He lost one of his eyes, and what happened was somebody had told him, because you don't need to do jihad now, and he said no, because I haven't got an excuse. And then he quotes a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go forth whether you are light or whether you are heavy. And then the Shaykh mentioned a very important point. He goes, there's one group of people who will try every excuse to avoid jihad. He goes, no, I'm going to look after my parents. No, I'm ill. No, my, you know, and then Zakalamah. And he goes, then there's another group of people. He goes, they'll make every excuse to get on the battlefield. And then he goes, Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib obviously referred to the latter, so I thought I'd mention that about him. So Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib reports, rahmatullah alayh, when the Muslims entered Makkah during the night on the occasion of the victory, they then spent the whole night in takbir, saying takbir, Allahu Akbar, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, and performing the tawaf until the morning. So this is called showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you something, and He gives you something, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing some worship. Right? And so some are doing takbir, some are doing tahleel. And Umar, let me just mention this. Umar radiallahu anhu had said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, I had vowed, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you are given Makkah, I would do itikaf. And I think he mentioned one night, or a couple of nights in the Holy Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fulfill your vow. So again, they were doing their various acts of worship. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, on witnessing this beautiful and most memorable scene, not like nowadays, mobile phones went on to us, he said to him radiallahu anhu, are you observing? Truly all this is from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She radiallahu anhu replied in amazement, yes, it is indeed from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the morning, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon asked, did you say to him last night, all this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And she replied, yes, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu replied again in total amazement. He goes, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that you are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servant and His messenger. And then he said radiallahu anhu, by the one of whom Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu takes oath, my talk has not been listened by anybody amongst the people besides my wife, him radiallahu anhu. Now this miracle, that's also the point where Hind embraced Islam radiallahu anhu. This miracle occurred between two individuals, Abu Sufyan and his wife radiallahu anhu, the following with just one, Abu Sufyan himself. So that was with both husband and wife, but his following report is only with Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. In Ibn Sa'ad al Tabaqat, Ibn Kathir Sira volume 3 page 412, Abu Ishaq rahmatullah alayhi said, after the conquest of Makkah, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was sitting saying to himself, what if I had gathered a force against Muhammad? So he just talking to himself, by himself, and strange thoughts that go through your head. Because what would happen if I had gathered a force even now against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Whilst he was asking himself this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suddenly emerged and struck him between the shoulders and said, then Abu Sufyan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you to shame again. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu then raised his head, and when he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing above him, he said, I was never sure before this that you were indeed a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in a similar report, in Bayhaqi and Ibn Kathir Sira volume 3 page 412, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I seek His forgiveness for what I have spoken to myself. So what you learn was he had still had these doubts in his mind, but miracle after miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was being given to him. So subhanAllah, it was as if Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself was molding the very iman of Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu. Okay, so all we went through today was his embracing Islam, and then miracle after miracle, not just for himself but for other companions of his, and also his noble wife Hind radiallahu anhu. So is there any questions on that before we wrap up? سبحان ربي الحمد سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواسوا بالحق ورواسوا بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم